a lot of crazy stuff happens in Florida. Some people even have news feeds that give them the latest up-to-date craziness out of Florida. There are some notoriously bad musical acts that come from Florida. Unfortunately, Florida doesn't seem known for a lot of great musical acts like LA, New York, even Detroit. Detroit has many more great musical acts in history, I think, than Florida maybe ever will, as a much larger state than just a city. The musical acts I can think of out of Florida are the likes of Vanilla Ice from Miami, or this also ran boy band in maybe the 90s called O-Town. Most people today probably haven't heard of them like they have the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And why does this matter? I'm from Florida, so it matters to me a little, and that's why I was pleased to see that the band The Kills originates, at least one of their members, out of a band called Discount in Florida. The background on the band Discount is pretty short, but apparently they started in Vero Beach, Florida, and lasted about 5 years. It was a punk rock band, and they played their last show in Gainesville. And that member of Discount who's relevant here to The Kills was Alison Mosshart, an American singer who makes up half of the British-American duo The Kills. Her partner's English guitarist, Hotel, real name, Jamie Hintz. As The Kills write in the song that was teased earlier called Future Starts Slow, the future does indeed start slow sometimes, and strategic patience, tactical patience, are incredibly important. Sometimes we need to prepare for the future and create detailed plans for how we execute. A lot of venture capitalists and entrepreneurs will tell you that ideas are a dime a dozen. And that is very true. Granted, some people also commit the fallacy of thinking that there are no new ideas under the sun, as the quote goes, which is actually not true. There are new ideas all the time. But the main point I want to make today is that it's possible to overprepare for the future. Everyone knows that. That's not necessarily rocket science. You could prep for Armageddon or the zombie apocalypse excessively. Some people would say at all is excessive, but that's besides the point. You can do all sorts of things at work. You could prepare to get fired just in case it happens to an excessive amount, saving 90% of your income for that in cash or gold bullion. That would be overpreparing. There's a particular kind of overpreparing that I really want to address today, which is preparing for optimal decision-making in the future. I've seen a behavior that I'm going to call for now the no future selves fallacy. And the idea this fallacy describes is when you have a group of people in an organization talking about some sort of vision for the future, and where there's excessive consternation about the choices that will be made in the future. Execution is hard. Operations is hard. I've seen the highest levels of execution in the SEAL teams and at Amazon, in the operations world there and elsewhere. I've also seen pretty bad levels of execution elsewhere. It is not to be taken for granted. A lot of times operations is not as sexy for, let's say, a millennial coming out of school right now. And to be fair, a lot of operations jobs don't pay as well as becoming a data scientist or a software engineer. So I'm not advising everyone coming out of the military, everyone coming out of school right now to jump into operations necessarily, but it shouldn't be taken for granted. However, preparation and planning about decision-making should generally be reserved for that sphere, the sphere in which things are awfully unpredictable and where time is of the essence. And often where, because time is of the essence and because of that unpredictability, availability of information is slow. So you could think about trading financially. So trading stocks, bonds. I traded commodities at Barclays Capital, electricity and natural gas derivatives. And in those sorts of situations, especially where there's a very liquid market like natural gas is, one needs to think about how things are going to change in all the ways they could change beforehand and come up with processes and decision-making criteria and tools that support that decision-making criteria so that you won't stumble and you'll take a lot of the cognitive load out of a time-critical and risky situation. I imagine air traffic controllers deal with the same issues. I've never worked for the FAA or been an air traffic controller. However, I've been on a U.S. Naval warship running the operations center, standing watch middle of the night, and to some extent, watching those radars, looking at incoming threats is analogous to that. So that is definitely a situation where you want to prepare ahead of time and have all sorts of protocols in place. Another criteria for this planning about decision-making is where you're not sure who you can trust or where your labor force, even if they're trustworthy in an ethical sense, may not have the experience or training, maybe education, to deal with problems in a way that doesn't require a lot of oversight. Another situation where you need to plan for that decision-making in advance. I know this is a show about the fallacy, but I'm going into the counterexamples because everything else consists of cases where you don't want to overplan about decision-making. So another example of this is where you have a team that hasn't gelled yet. Maybe there's some new people on the team who haven't worked with the others before. There's a lot of issues that can happen with handoffs and communication and where having some decision-making protocols are necessary. A final example of a category of things where you want to plan well in advance is where there are handoffs, maybe handoffs between different organizations within your company, or maybe between your company and a vendor. Those handoffs can create issues, and if there's no decision-making criteria in place, things can get out of hand. You can holler, you can wail, you can swing, you can flail. You can fight like a broken sail, but I'll never give you up. If I ever give you up, my heart will surely fail. However, when you're talking about a startup or the senior levels of a company, while it's good to put in place guardrails, put in place a culture and an articulation of ethics, what Amazon calls leadership principles. Those are a great idea. All of these sorts of principles you want to put in place. And you also want to have an idea about how you're going to come up with strategy. What's your meta strategy, the strategy for strategy? How do you come up with it? Because you could come up with very different results in terms of your strategy depending on what your strategic planning process is. That being said, I've seen time and time again, mostly among smart people who enjoy being smart more than they enjoy actually executing, I've seen this tendency to plan about how those people involved in that planning are going to make a particular kind of decision in the future. And so the idea of the no future selves fallacy is to say, you know what? All of us, unless we get hit by a bus, are going to be here in the future. And if one of us gets hit by a bus, the rest will probably know it and can act accordingly. Someone committing the no future selves fallacy might, for instance, go into a lot of if-then scenarios. Someone committing the no future selves fallacy, I think, is looking for reassurance in the face of fear. They're trying to create a bulwark against everything that can go wrong, not fully putting faith in themselves and their lieutenants, their peers, in terms of how they're going to deal with things in the future. It's surprising the amount of issues one can deal with ad hoc, as long as lives aren't on the line and there's not a shortage of time. Most things in the world that companies deal with that are actually important do not have a shortage of time. And when I'm talking about shortage of time, I'm talking about, let's say, seconds or minutes, and where the results can be catastrophic. There's a classic case that is done at Harvard Business School, at least when I was there, that talks about the tampering of Tylenol packages back in, I'm just going to throw out 1980s, maybe late 1970s, and how the company dealt with that. Even in that scenario, the CEO, who apparently did a really great job dealing with that and served as an example for a lot of other companies dealing with crises in the commercial marketplace, he had, let's say, hours to maybe get out a response and then maybe several more hours to come up with a plan. Then days and weeks and months to deal with how to reform the company, how to solidify their manufacturing and distribution process. So there was ample time. And now's that time of the show where we get all the way wet. That chill cover you heard of the Kills song, Future Starts Slow, is by a guy named Adam Blazer. I'm assuming that's a pseudonym. He does appear in most of his YouTube videos in a red blazer. And I'm pretty sure he's Turkish. I suppose Adam could be a Turkish name as well. I've tried to find as much as I could about him because he's got some cool stuff on there. And I especially liked this version of Future Starts Slow. The bird sound effects in the background were kind of interesting. Not my favorite, but really love the rest of the song. So keep up the good work, Adam. There's a link to the YouTube video in the show notes. Footnote number two. Perhaps there's one exception I should call out, or a caveat or counterargument to this no future selves fallacy. And that might be if you are thinking about how you are going to decide things yourself in the future. So if it is you, the individual, who, when you are in your own head and don't have other minds to lean on, other input, can become awfully emotional. If you doubt me, read Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow, where our rational processes are often the slave to our emotions in our brains, even if you consider yourself to not be an emotional person, which many type A people in this audience probably fall into. So there, ironically, with the word self at the root of the no future selves fallacy, perhaps that when you're trying to drive your intentions and how you'll deal with things in the future, it might make sense to plan excessively about what your decision-making criteria is going to be, even when perhaps the timelines are a little extended. So whether you're thinking fast or slow, whether your future starts fast or slow, trust yourself, trust your people, more importantly, and chances are everything will be just fine. Warrior Poet is a property of Rainiac Productions. The helicopter fills you heard come courtesy of Mike Koenig. Thanks, Mike. Few things are as comforting as some powerful rotor chop. Warrior Poet is produced by Laddie, with special contributions by Spoonman and me, Shree.
No, 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 no. Kevin. Mina dua. Spita.